And welcome. Welcome to another dumb podcast. And probably going to have some new listeners on this one because this guy's kind of a big deal. But our first guest ever on another dumb podcast is Kevin Turner, former radio host. Or I don't know what he was exactly. I think he was a producer, third chair, radio host on 105.3 The Fan. He currently does not work there anymore. He has since left, since Ben and Skin have put in there, since they quit. But I just wanted to give you all like a soft landing on this episode. I could have just gone right into it, but kind of just wanted to go over a few things. I just got a new recorder. That's why I was able to actually talk to Kevin Turner on the phone. I wanted to talk to him in person, and I soon will. But a phone call seemed a little bit easier to do than logistically going over to where he is and recording with him. And he was gracious enough to sit on the phone with me and talk about all this. I am entirely grateful for Kevin Turner. I think he is such a genuine good person, and I was glad that on the first interview that this podcast has, he is the man to start it all off. And I hope we have another conversation, because this one got a little deep in some instances. Because if you're interested in kind of political and radio politics of some sort and how that whole game goes, I think you'll find this one really, really interesting, because kind of get the curtain pulled back a little bit on what exactly goes on, I guess, in the radio world. So, but again, I just have to thank Kevin so much. I know from day one when I said I wanted to do this podcast, I actually texted him and I was like, "Hey, would you do this?" And he goes, "Oh yeah, I'll do that in a second." And that is so cool of him. And I really wanted to get him on with this because I haven't really heard him on anywhere else talking about what had happened about him leaving the Fan and whatever happened between him and Ben and Skin and how that's going. And we basically talk about everything. And I think y'all are really, really going to enjoy it. And please follow this show. I mean, I'm going to have other hosts and other guests like him. But this is kind of our, we're trying to fill around with what the format is. And I really do like interviewing people. You're going to hear some other episodes on this podcast, and it's just me. And it feels a little awkward for me, because it's a hard thing to do, to broadcast by yourself. So. But follow me. I'm at Brad Calhoun. Please follow also Another Dumb Podcast is on there, at Another Dumb Podcast. And follow Kevin, KT, at KT Fun Tweets on Twitter. I think he's on some other stuff. But and also listen to his podcast about them Cowboys. That's what it is. It's on The Athletic. So please give a listen. Please give your critiques. Please be nice. I know how some of these radio hosts feel, getting some criticism. So please be nice. And I hope you all enjoy it. I think this is a really, really interesting podcast, and I hope you all really enjoy it. Thank you all.
You're listening to Another Dumb Podcast.
It's time for the emergency break of the week.
Well, our lead story is that Descending Hunan has a new song. Care to sing it for everyone, Craig?
I forgot what it was now.
That moment when programming is brought to a complete halt.
I sing Who You Talking To, and my three backup singers sing Diarrhea Pants.
By a wheels-off comment or technical meltdown.
What's wrong with
Don't
you?
Don't laugh at that, Rich.
It's
Don't
funny.
Encourage that.
Who you talking to? And then they say that.
So you guys, yeah, and the way he says who you talking to, it's kind of cocky. You know, like... You're with someone to be reckoned with now.
You don't understand the deep meaning of my music.
You're right.
Let's see who yanked the break the hardest this week on The Little Ticket.
Let's do the e-break. We have three candidates. Actually, we have lots and lots of candidates, but these are the three that made the cut. And candidate number one is Channel 5's Amanda Guerra.
Mm.
Can you do that,
nice.
Donnie?
Guerra.
Nicer.
Dang, that's amazing. Well, she had some thoughts on the Mavs' cutting of Dominique Jones.
Ooh.
And let's go ahead and listen to that.
March Madness continues, but not for one player. The Mavericks cut a first-round pick. David Watkins has details. And take a look at the radar. Ramesha is back with an update on Storm's slamming North Texas.
Man, that probably wasn't a nice dude, but
now,
that's a little extreme.
Now, Amanda had a few things there, and let's not let the misspeak overrun the whoever was helping her with her basketball knowledge. The NBA seldom recognizes March Madness as part of their calendar. Now, they do play basketball in March, but college basketball has the complete squatting rights on the term March Madness. So one more time from Amanda.
March Madness continues, but not for one player. The Mavericks cut a first-round pick. David Watkins has details. And take a look at the radar. Ramesha is back with an update on Storm's slamming North Texas.
So there you go.
Wow.
Good work from Amanda.
Good work.
Well, it was wordy. Was difficult off the court, right?
Yes, actually, no. It's,
maybe she was onto something?
It's kind of funny how that all fits together.
Now, what
because
what is she looking like these days?
Who? Awesome.
Who?
Amanda Guerra?
Yeah.
Oh,
I
yeah.
wanted Donnie to say it.
Oh, Amanda Guerra.
Kids, that is free with your price of admission.
Oh, text me, Amanda.
All right, let's go to candidate number two. Now, you might have heard of this guy. His name is Mike Reiner. Reiner of The Ticket, always a mainstay in the emergency break of the week. And, wow, it's live spot time on the hard line. And, guys, you're not going to believe it. It didn't go smoothly. Let's listen.
It is bracket challenge time at Buffalo Wild Wings. Enter for free at bbwbracketchallenge.com. No, that's BWW bracket challenge.
Freudian?
What did you say initially?
BBW.
Oh,
Big Beautiful Women?
Big Beautiful Woman. Huh.
Yeah, if you...
Paging Dr. Freud.
Wow, well, if you have your mind on there.
If you have enough BWW, you wind up with a BBW, right?
You say so.
Perhaps, buddy. Wherever you want to go with this.
You're doing great.
Thanks. Appreciate the support here. Enter for free at bwwbracketchallenge.com for your six chances to win great prizes and check in at your favorite B-dubs to earn bonus points. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports, and BBWs.
Part of the Holy Trinity. Beer, wings, and sports, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so there's the hard line with a fantastic entry.
Strong.
The BBW entry.
I don't know if that's a copy point for
BBW.
Buffalo Wild Wings.
And candidate number three.
Is there BBBW?
Big Black Beautiful Women?
Yeah, isn't that a category?
Redundant.
Oh.
Yes.
Beautiful?
Yeah.
Black and beautiful?
I don't know what he's trying to get out of it.
Yeah, no, I'm not.
He's trying to swim out
How
of that.
How dare you no. try to twist this against me?
What? You know what you're doing.
No, I don't know
now,
what I'm doing.
Now overly defensive?
I would never. Back off.
I read that playbook.
Candidate number three. Now, insiders in E-Break Illustrated have said that when Craig hangs it up, the heir apparent to Johnny E-Break, Craig Rosengarten, by the way, when he hangs it up, the heir apparent is KT.
No doubt.
Really?
KT with skills, natural ability, it comes so easy to him. Let's listen to his latest fine work.
424-6572 or visit michaeljohnsonperformance.com. Also, breaking ticket news, freaking Pope news, sort of. There's white smoke coming at the Vatican. The new Pope will be named in about an hour. That's the ticket ticker. The next one's coming up at 1:30. I'm Kevin Turner reminding the P wants to be one. Tune us in, turn it up, keep it on. Sports Radio 1310, the ticket.
Nailed it.
Made it look easy. Almost Francesa-like in his handling of the Pope story.
Man, I don't know why CNN, they won't steal him away.
He really, really was struggling there with
It's odd when Rich makes these guys have to also cover Pope news.
I had nothing to do with it.
And then they have to see the color of the smoke and then try to decide what it means.
No, it is good. A fairly significant story.
Yes. And who better to put on a significant story than KT?
Of course.
Right?
Anderson Cooper of the ticket.
Absolutely. Here to provide perspective on all of this. All right, so there are your candidates. Amanda Guerra.
Guerra.
Rhines.
Guerra.
And his enjoyment of the BBBW. And KT. So vote them up at 888-787-1310, 888-787-1310, and it's, what, the first to five? Doesn't matter how you get to five, just get there first and you're the winner?
Okay, now we're going. Kevin Turner, KT, what's up, man?
Man, thanks for having me.
Yeah, I know,
man. I appreciate
it. The stupid-ass thing.
I've had a busy schedule.
Yeah, all the free time that you got going on.
Yeah.
What were you doing today?
Well, today I got up and played some morning golf.
Did you? So, I forget that you're a golfer.
Yeah, you know, like I play a little bit. I'm not like, you know, I'm okay. I played like growing up and stuff, so like I could play a little bit. But generally when you're unemployed, it's a bad idea to go like spend money playing golf.
No shit. But, it's a real bad idea when you're actually employed.
Yeah, no, it's a horrible idea. You should be saving up or something. But I actually played for free this morning thanks to a hookup from a mystery local radio buddy.
So, nice.
Yeah.
We can't talk about that. All right. But
I don't want to get anyone in trouble.
No. Man, I'm telling you, I'm a little nervous talking to you. I really
Why?
Am. I don't know. Man, we've been friends for a little while now, but I'm still really nervous talking to you.
I mean, we're friends, I guess, you know, I mean, yeah, we've obviously met in person many times, but you've probably been following each other on Twitter for almost 10 years, probably, well, right? That's probably where we met.
We're gonna do like a Inside the Actor Studio here, okay? Because yesterday was White Elephant on the ticket. Did you listen?
I actually did. Yeah, I listened like all day.
Yeah, I know. Isn't it one of those days that you just listen all day?
Yeah, no, that's what that day's all about, really, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
But then, and especially if you grew up listening to that station like I did, you know, and, you know, that station, you know, made me fall in love with talk radio. I didn't know there were things. They didn't know you could do it that way, I guess, you know?
Yeah.
And they kind of taught you the way that you can do it that way. And then other things, you know, I guess it's a thing. It is kind of like a Christmas present type thing. So, well, yeah, I listened all day. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, that's the way they, like, package it. They go, this is the present to the P1s, and they just F around all day. They talked a good 30, 40 minutes on Cowboys, and the rest was jacking around. So I thought that
And my first 2 years there at the ticket, one, I don't think I was officially hired yet. I was still an intern. I think the second time I was part-time. Like, part of my responsibilities on White Elephant, they were to make sure that the person that was going in there to do the ticker,
yep,
which is normally, you know, someone who's not used to using that equipment because you have hosts doing tickers.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of like to help out with those guys.
And that's why I brought that up. That's why I brought that up because that is the first time I saw you. Because I would watch, it was on like Ustream. They would actually video.
Yeah.
Do you remember that shit?
I remember purposely getting right up behind Corby on the Ustream, just hoping that someone would notice me because I was such a nobody, you know?
Such a nobody. I mean, I don't even remember how I probably was following somebody and goes, who's that, you know, guy in the background giving him notes on the tickers and stuff? And I think someone said, you know, KT, blah, 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 or Kevin or whatever. And I go, huh, okay. And I was really big on the, like, I loved the main roster of everybody, you know, the host and everything. But I really loved the ticket JV. And you were, you might have, at that point, were actually maybe lower than the JV. You were just kind of starting out. But I loved the ticket JV, which truthfully doesn't exist anymore.
You know, it's such a weird thing, though, because, like, again, the ticket is so special that, like, you'd start thinking about them like they are a team, you know?
Yes.
And I guess as I've gotten older, I think I don't like that as much.
Mm-hmm.
Like the team sports mentality, I think, you know?
Well, it can breed some bad stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause in the end, it's just companies going back and forth.
Exactly.
You know? But like if you do hone in on the specific station and look all that stuff, you're right, man. It's just like being a bench player or a minor league player or whatever it is, you know. And it's kind of fun to think about it that way. And even when I went to the fan there, like we started kind of developing a pretty good JV.
Yes.
And
which they have.
It's kind of fun. Well, it's kind of fun too. Once I was kind of not on that JV level anymore, at least at the fan, you know, to kind of have some of those younger guys who had been even my interns, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of fun to kind of follow them along or help them out or, you know, do anything that they need, you know, just kind of help them along the way. Because, I don't know, a guy wouldn't be anywhere without guys like, you know, Mike Soroy specifically was so helpful to me. Like, he didn't have to, you know, let me just come out and hang out and help me get, like, extra work at Fox Sports when he was doing that. Like, he didn't have to do that.
By the way, Mike Soroy, genuine good guy in radio.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you could say the same thing for his brother Cash, too.
I don't know Cash, but I've spoken to Mike Soroy. I was at Summer Bash. It's been so long. And that guy would just sit around and talk to you, and he was so cool. Yeah.
He's a legitimate A1 guy, man.
Yeah.
And honestly, there's not many that aren't that way that I've found in my time, which might seem weird, but like,
I know.
You know, I think, but again, you know, maybe I get to interact with these guys on a different level.
Absolutely.
You know,
you're in the club.
Things like that.
You're in the club.
Yeah, and sometimes, like, though, you get perceptions of people based on how they act online, though, you know?
Of course, yeah. Absolutely.
So, you know, and that's not something that was around in the 2000s. That's something that just started in, you know, really took over in the late 2000s, early 2010s, where kind of knowing people, and there's a good thing to that and a bad thing to all that.
There is good and bad. I think a lot of it drives a lot of the I want to say older hosts a little crazy because you know, I read that book. I think I read it. Yeah, I read it. The Full Disclosure. I don't know if you ever read that.
Yeah.
By the way, great book. Whoever wrote that or whatever put that together, great book. Good history of the ticket. But it talks about how Craig Miller actually wanted to quit years ago over email. Did you know that?
Yeah, no. There was that. I think there was chapter on Gordon, too.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Yeah.
Talking about Gordon kind of choosing to be, you know, live a private life.
Yes.
And I'll say it, man. It is pretty constant. Those guys would get it way more than I have,
and
I've seen it way more than I have, but you know, it does start messing with your mind a little bit when you do get people you know, just taking kind of personal shots at you.
Yeah, I know.
But it goes with the territory, and you know.
It kind of does. And I can't do the job. I know, but I'm like, and I'm like, oh shit, I've probably done that. And I'm not gonna lie, I have. You know, Sean Sharif has deemed me top 5 biggest trolls online. Is what he said.
Well, so he shouldn't power rank you guys.
Well, yeah, the top 5, bottom 5 at least. So
we're not giving out awards to the trolls, like that's the thing. Like, but like, there's some of it. I really enjoy. A playful troll is fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
A troll that gets,
I think, vitriolic,
personal, and B, when they say stuff that's just not accurate.
Yeah,
like whatever you want to say. I always get frustrated when you know, you read things or see things and it's out of your control. I shouldn't worry about it, but. I'll go back to the show that I was most recently on, the Ben and Skin show, and you'd get a critique of the show. Well, all those guys do is talk basketball. And I'm like, no, we do 4-hour show. We have 12 segments a show.
If y'all did just all basketball, holy shit.
we're not doing 12 seconds of basketball. We're
well, that was the old perception.
We never did more than, you know, 2 or 3 segments.
Yeah, but that was before you even got there. And whenever they were, I think, original fan, or maybe when they went to ESPN, that was what the perception of Penn and Skin was, is that they would always talk basketball. And that was true, but it wasn't true. It really wasn't. They would talk a lot.
Yeah,
well,
you know, and I can't say that I listened to, you know, really any of their show when they were at ESPN and they were doing 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I knew their Ticket Weekend show. And, you know, again, they got their boots on the ground because of Mavs post game.
Yep.
You know, at the Ticket back when they started. And then, you know, sure enough, you find out that Skin's, you know, on the Mavs broadcast. And
well, I mean, talk about what you know, man. I mean, and that's the thing that they're passionate about. And, I mean, if you can make it entertaining, I really can't hate on you about it.
But if you see someone say, well, all they do is talk basketball on that show. And I'm like, well, that's an off-base comment.
I think that's coming from a person who probably doesn't listen. I bet that's what it is. That's from someone who doesn't listen.
And that's another thing, though, that, you know, you do have your P1s or your TOAs who do listen all day long, right? But then the majority of the people out there are listening.
Spin by.
On their way to the work, at lunch, on their way home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 1, 2, 3 segments a day. So you may hear the same thing, you know?
Yeah, why are you always talking about that? It's like, well, that's the around where we talk basketball. Get the hell over it.
Yeah, but damn it, which is what we planned. I don't know. You know?
Okay, move around that basketball segment.
Yeah, that's the thing, too. Like, you can drive yourself crazy when you're planning a show overthinking it, too.
I can't even imagine.
I mean, I'll just use the I'll say 3 to 7 show, but, you know, when we were 3 to 7 at the Fan, you sit there and you go, okay, well, I know that I want 520 and 540, you know, to be really good,
mm-hmm.
you know, but what does really good mean? Well, what's really good to you might be really good to someone else. And that's where it gets very difficult.
Absolutely. And I hate to talk radio.
Watch the Cowboys.
I mean, that's planning a 4-hour show is something that I think people really don't grasp. And I know it's only in 15, usually 10, 15 minute segments. Is that?
Yeah, we were doing probably, you know, when I first started at the Fan in 2013, we were doing 4 minutes an hour. So it would be 16 segment show, you know, a 20 segment show for a 5-hour show like G-Bag.
Yeah.
You know, and but we were doing 10 minute segments, and then we kind of did 3 segments an hour for about 15, 16 minutes.
Okay. Well, we've talked about the clock before, but I you know, that's hard to do. I mean, I was literally talking to another person today about, you know, doing this shit alone. Oh my God, this is hard. Because you really have to know what you're talking about, and you have to be able to keep the continual talking going, and it's very hard.
I think the people that there are very few people who can go do that by themselves.
Nope.
You know, Norm did it for years by himself.
I can really only name Norm and Rush Limbaugh. That's the only ones I could think of.
Chuck Cooper used to do it.
He did. No one used to
do a solo show. But those guys, like, I get it. Like, that is tough. And, you know, they have another guy that can throw to every once in a while, you know, a producer. But it's still a very difficult thing.
It's a very – well, I mean –
even when the Chris Arnold show had Corby on it, you know.
Mm-hmm. At least you have somebody, you know, again, they have, like, you know, interns and everybody that can help them out. But if you're just sitting there quipping on some single subject, which I've tried to do – and ones that no one will ever listen to because I stammer through it because I'm like, what is that? I can't remember that fact right now. And you're trying to get through it and you're like, oh my God, this is a lot harder than it looks. And all this radio stuff and everything is really hard. And that's where a lot of people go, man, I could do that. Don't you love that one?
Well, yeah. You know, that's the thing though. It's like, how do we know? Like, are you, there's a bit of luck that goes into all of this, and there's a bit of going out and doing it yourself. You know, that goes to getting that radio job. You know, like, if I didn't know to Facebook Tom Gribble and Groobs, maybe I'm never an intern at the Ticket. Maybe I never work in radio. But I did that. I got out of ahead of it and went and just Facebooked those guys out of my own curiosity.
Was that
Doesn't
how you started?
I deserve a job.
Was that how you started?
I started doing radio when I was 13 in Graham, Texas.
You were in Graham?
I grew up in Olney, but Graham was kind of the local station.
Oh, wow.
So I did a bunch of Olney high school football games, baseball, basketball. I used to do that until I got in high school and was playing.
I'm not sure I knew that. I knew you were in Olney. I never knew about the Graham.
Yeah, I remember I was playing. I was my junior or senior year. We were driving in the bus to a playoff game. I got a phone call, and they're like, "Hey, can you do the game tonight?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'm playing third base tonight. I can't do play by play. but I did a lot of helping Graham out, that Graham radio station out, because I was 13. So I knew I wanted to do it. I could have done it, but to get a top five market right out of college. In fact, I got hired while I was in college. And, I'm not saying I deserve that. I'm just saying, I did some things on my own as well. But, when people do say, I do that, I do think there's a lot of people out there who could and have never gotten the chance. I totally believe that. But, the thing that I hate is, I don't hate it because it's just what people think, You get paid to sit in a room and talk sports all day for 4 hours. And I'm like, well, yeah, but it's a four-hour show, but if you look at the show meeting before, which, when we were there 3 to 7, we were getting there at noon or 1 o'clock,
Mm-hmm.
So, and then I would do show prep at night and the morning of.
You have a crazy sleep habit.
You
have a crazy sleep habit.
Yeah, the narcolepsy is not very, it's good and bad for that job.
Oh, no joke. I would wake up in the morning, and I would have to go early in the morning, and I'm like, oh, my God, KT's not just, milling around. You're up and at him and going and talking whatever on Twitter.
I don't sleep more than 2 hours at a time.
Okay.
Which is really unhealthy, and it's going to end up taking years off my life. But I just can't sleep for more than 2 hours at a time. And I've tried all kinds of things.
So with the narcolepsy, I thought the narcolepsy would just be walking around and you just fall asleep.
Yeah, no, it can be. It's happened many times where you just fall asleep in the middle of nowhere. And I've had that since high school. So,
really?
I dealt with since high school. And honestly, it's there is medication. There's no cure for it, but there is medication that helps. And I've been on that for a long time.
Screw that.
The occasional insurance war about once every year or so, you'd get into a war with the insurance companies about all that stuff. Cause it's a medication that costs $900 a month.
Oh shit. I'm not trying to get in your business and you can go pass. You're still on that shit? You're still on medication?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I am. I'm not on, but now I'm out of insurance until, I get hired again. But I've got enough to get through, the time off.
Yeah.
To be fine. And it's the thing, I just got to be careful. If I'm ever off that stuff, I got to be careful driving.
Of course. Of course.
And so, I've made it a point to always, which is very hard to do once you get in the city, but you live close to work, manage your day,
Yeah.
If your show's 3 to 7, you can do things to manage your day.
Mm-hmm.
For me, having such a problem with sleeping for a long amount of time, I would get up at 7, make sure I do an hour, 2 hours of show prep, and then I could go knock myself out from 9 to 11 or 8 to 10. And I know everyone else is going, well, I have to go work a full day. I'm not asking anyone to feel sorry for me, but you take those hours of sleep and you're building up this energy for your show, 3 to 7.
Of course.
And that's why when the fan, when we got moved to 10 to 2, that was really bad for me. Because there's no time to manage your energy. It's just get up and go to work.
Okay, and we're going to talk about that here in a second. I wanted to get through a few things. I really want to know about all that, when you can talk about it. But so you started at the Ticket, right, in 2009, 2008?
2009, I think, was about when I started interning, 2009.
Yeah, and then you obviously did some. And I was talking about the golfing stuff because I think you filled in for the tee box, right? Every now and then. Okay. Am I crazy?
Well, I was just I didn't fill in and host, but I was in talks to do that like right before I left.
Oh, whoops.
In 2013. Not full time, but fill in host for a couple episodes.
Yeah.
I think they let Eli Jordan do that now.
Yeah.
But I was still like producing and running the board and doing tickers. So like I was around that show at all times.
Yeah. Okay. Well, maybe that's what I remember you from, with the whole golfing thing. So you do the weekend stuff. And I also remember, which, you know, this is how big of a fan I am of yours, is I would listen to the Turner, Marshall Turner Overdrive? Is that what it is?
Mark Turner Overdrive.
Shit,
a
yeah.
big play on Bachman Turner Overdrive.
Yeah,
God, I remember those days.
Dude, I'm telling you, that was a wild. If anybody could go back and listen to that, and I don't know if it's anywhere on the internet, but that shit was wild.
I kind of hope not. Like, I kind of hope it's not around anymore because there's no telling what
dude,
was said.
If it's not, I could probably look on my computer. I save ticket audio. I save podcast audio. I swear to God, there's got to be one on there because it's a wild ride.
That's the whole thing of like that makes me nervous about like people just getting in trouble for something they tweeted 10 years ago.
Oh God, yeah, I know.
I'm like, oh God, man. Like I don't. There's no telling. I mean, I think back to some of those like on YouTube we did when I was on the Cirque du Soleil show.
Yeah,
with Mike and Cash and those Mike Marshall. And,
those are funny.
You know, we had like 15 episodes of Cirque TV that Mike Marshall was just producing on his own, like 30-minute TV episodes, no point besides. But I to this day, like you can read that book, but if you want a deep look inside the studios of America's favorite radio station, then like there it is.
Yeah.
Like and it was during that time when the station was moving from Maple down to the American Airlines Center.
Mm-hmm.
So like.
I got really behind
there. What the studios are like, it is way behind the scenes.
Oh yeah, dude, I love that. I want to say I don't know how many episodes there were. I saw a lot of them, if not all of them. They were hilarious. Mike Marshall get in some tips, and we're probably not on good terms. But I think that dude is very funny.
No, he's great. He's very funny. But I mean, like, you know, Mike was my, I went to college with Mike, me and him hit it off,
mm-hmm.
and me and Mike kind of were working at the, you know, I had guys help me, I told you Groobs and Tom Gribble, and when I was interning it on, at the ticket, you know, Roy White, who mm-hmm. is now on the Sean and RJ show on
that's
the
what I talk about the JV, school. People don't really even remember this.
Yeah, Roy was doing overnights and stuff and interning, and Roy put in a good word for me and helped me get an internship. And then I helped, you know, Mike did it on his own, but I helped Mike Marshall get an internship just from basic, you know, knowing people.
Right.
Just go up to Rich Phillips and say, hey, I know him, so you should give him an internship. You know, it's things like that.
Yeah.
You know, ultimately, those decisions are made through an interview process and all that stuff, but like it helps.
No, and I totally remember that. You know, a funny story is I used to work out of town, and I was actually working a night shift, and I would remember listening to the ticket because they would have the overnight thing, or maybe I wasn't, but I remember tweeting at Mike whenever he would be working the overnight board shift. And we would just be jacking around on that or whatever, and he'd be telling me what they're playing or some shit like that. It, you know, the heyday of like 2010, 2011 of the Ticket JV was just – it was glorious. They were doing little projects and everything. I loved it.
It was fun, and there was this like – there was this feeling – and Jake and TC deserve some credit for this as well, you know.
They really started
it all.
I mean,
the first –
yeah.
My first shift as an intern covering a game, and Jake was doing it overnight, and I kicked it with Jake for like 3 hours that night.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the nicest dude ever. Like, you're sitting there going, okay, this is cool. This is cool. Like, he doesn't have to talk to me. I'm just like a reporter guy right now, you know? But, like, what also goes hand in hand with that is the Mavericks and Rangers were really good. And, you know, the Mavericks won that title in 2011.
Exactly.
Why was it? Yeah, it was just the culmination of everything.
And that's why I am always like, and I don't think I ever knew this until then. And really, that's the only time the Rangers were seriously good in my, I guess, somewhat adulthood, I guess. You know, like, I think it's where you sit back and start to look at, okay, yeah, sports is just a game, but the importance of those teams doing well is so good for everyone.
It really is.
It was so good for just people are happy, you know? It just felt like things were better. So you just want all these teams to do well, you know, and get back on track because that time period was really fun.
Yeah, it was fun. But though you say that, I don't do it much anymore because, again, I hate to say this, but my sports fandom has kind of waned over the years. I guess it was just having family and getting older. But yeah. I would love when the Cowboys would lose. I mean, hold on. I would love when the Cowboys would win, but I would also, if the Cowboys lost a game that they were supposed to win, I would run to my radio because I wanted to hear that post-game show.
Absolutely.
Because guess what? Norm's yelling at somebody.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think it's a thing, too. And I can't speak to that because I'm weirdly a Packers fan. And I know everyone's probably annoyed by that.
No, I'm not.
But whatever.
Hey, dude, they fucking win.
But, like, it's been funny. But, like, you know, over the years, you're like, hey, I want the Cowboys to win because it's good for me, you know? You know, so it's like, I don't know, Josh, I think about that time. Again, yeah, Jake and TC did help out a lot with that. With, you know, it's just Banner and all that stuff. But, you know, it was guys like Mike Soroy and Cash Soroy being open to help. Hey, let's let KT and Machine pop on the show, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was kind of fun is I would, you know, I'd be driving around doing whatever, and then I would hear a guy I'd been interacting online with actually on the radio. I was like, dude, you're on the ticket now. You know how cool that is? And it just felt cool. I mean, I was happy for y'all guys because I would be rooting for y'all. You know, I wanted someone my age. I mean, you're my age. And, you know, I'm dealing with a bunch of old F's and the hosts. I'm not being mean or anything. But I mean, to see someone our age, you know, I know I'm not going to go join the ticket. So it's good to, like, root for these young guys, you know, Jake and TC and everyone else. And you're like, yeah, man, y'all guys are doing it. Yeah, I like this. You're going to be the future of the ticket.
You said your sports fandom had kind of gone away as you've gotten older and gotten a family. Has your radio station fandom gotten less intense or different? Or
that's what's so.
Mine has completely just from being in it. Like, it completely went to, this is a job and I love my job, but my total give a shit about all the stuff that maybe I cared about back then, mm-hmm. is kind of gone.
It is. And that's why I wanted to talk to you because I wanted to talk to you. And I wanted to get into some of this, you know, radio politics because I do enjoy it. But, like, whenever I first we first really, really hung out was the Prince Kinsler, Prince Fielder and Kinsler trade night. We were in a bar in Fort Worth, and I was totally engaged in all things radio and all things, you know, I was enamored with it. I don't even know why. I enjoyed it. I thought it was like the other sports teams I was following was the sports teams, and then I was following the radio sports teams, you know. But now it's and I think it's all everything has been consumed, I believe, by podcasts, and I think that's what's taking my ear away from these things, and that's just the God's honest truth.
I do think, like, slowly you're going to get people who are, you know, I don't want to say fading away, but to go check out podcasts. I think there's room for both.
Absolutely.
And that's where specific sports or any talk radio, really, any sports or talk radio, to me, is still very safe, because there's so many things you can do with that. Locally, of course, it really stands out because you know, that all matters. People care about the place they're from. Well, we know all that stuff.
Well, absolutely. You want to feel like you're talking with somebody that just, you want to feel like you're talking with somebody that is in your town. If you're listening to somebody from New York and they're talking about the Cowboys, they don't really have that same feel.
And, yeah, I didn't have that same feel at all. But like, this is why, like, even like, I mean, because I got to work, not work, but like when I was at the Fan, you know, the AM sister station was KRLD 1080, and I would find myself listening to that sometimes on AM, just like here, just doing the news, just because it was different, you know.
It was something. Yeah.
I think there's a place for all that. It's music radio, not music radio in general, but like. I do fear for that, like, because it's just, you look at Spotify and you're like, man, I have everything I could want.
Absolutely.
Now, do you want to pay? How much do you want to, you know, that's...
Or you don't want to pay.
Premium, yeah.
Or you don't want to pay, and we'll just give it to you.
You still get a lot there.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I think what we were kind of doing, you know, in my final days at the Fan, we were podcasting every hour of every show.
Okay. This is the part I actually want to.
Yeah, shows up.
That is huge, and I don't know what it did for you, because I actually do you follow the Plainsman? I guess it's My Ticket Confessions. I think it's what it's called. You are aware of there's a website.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So I remember they were actually doing an AMA with a local program director. I'm going to say who that, I don't, you know, whatever. But
no, I think I know who it is.
I'm being stupidly cryptic. There's no real reason. But I had asked the question on this AMA. Didn't think he'd have, but I was, the reason also why my listenership had gone down was because for the longest time I would listen on the radio, but then I was traveling a lot. So I actually had to listen to the podcast because I didn't have a radio by me. So listening while I'm out of town, and I don't want to be draining my battery trying to pull in the ticket streaming app, it would be best if I would just, I would literally just watch, listen all day long of the previous day's ticket. Well,
yeah.
But the whole thing actually changed because the Unticket was the one providing the archives, I guess. And then they were, and I thank the Unticket so much for all those years that I actually got to listen to it. They had to go to a basically a paid site because archiving all that shit is, it costs money. And I totally understood. Yeah. And then it just didn't work with my phone. And it just wasn't convenient, so I said, shit, whatever. I'll go listen to Joe Rogan, and I'll go listen to all these comedians that I listen to over in New York. Like, no joke. They just make me laugh and they entertain me.
You want to make it easy for your audience to go. And, like, you know, the Unticket was so huge. I mean, even with the famous equipment change at the Ticket, you know, they lost some drops and stuff or some audio. You know, at the Fan at Intercom, and you can go look it up. I'm not saying anything that you know, nobody, but Intercom got hacked.
Oh, locally. Shit. Really?
And so in about September, I mean, we went 3 months without any old audio. Like,
but
if you wanted to go find a drop or a piece of audio from 2015, it was gone because the company was working on
getting
the audio back. Now, no, they got it. They saved it. They recovered it all and they did a fantastic job by recovering it all.
Oh.
But they were basically ransomware attacked, according to articles online.
Wow, I didn't know.
You know, whenever I asked about it, you know, no one wanted things getting out. So I just kind of, but, you know, you wow. sit there and look, okay, so I was going 3 months without any old audio and drops and things like that.
Well, I mean,
it's
I don't know.
Kind of frustrating.
Well, I guess it was, but I guess they were kind of drop heavy. I mean,
on our show, we played a lot of drops.
Yeah.
But not every show does, you know, but our show did.
Okay.
But our show, I mean, me and Ben and Skin on it all worked at the Ticket. Our show had more of a Kit vibe than any other show on that station.
Absolutely.
At the Fan. But, you know, my whole thing, when we were podcasting, you know, every hour of every show, I disagreed with it, sort of.
Okay.
The part of me that disagreed with it is I don't think you should ever take away the urgency for a person to listen to live radio.
Of course. I
know a smart listener like you knows that you can catch our show tomorrow, then what's the point in going to listen today?
Well, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go finish.
Well, I'll say this. Here's what I don't know. And this is why I wish I knew, and this is where maybe we need to have another AMA with the program director.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if those podcasts, what they do from a rating standpoint. Because we just now, we're very new to the world of streaming numbers starting to count and things like that, right?
Right, yeah.
Well, how much are these podcasts counting towards our streaming numbers or towards our overall rating?
I wish they did. But the problem is also.
I think they do.
I'm saying get the whole damn thing on there, and then I will listen all day long.
I just don't know though.
Yeah,
I don't know that for a fact. That's the whole thing. If you have all these talks with people about this stuff, and you get so much different information. But I know what they were doing to us, and at least at the Fan when we were putting these up. You know, some of these podcasts would be. You'd put an ad in there. You drop an ad in there.
Yep, and the Ticket was doing that as well. And the Ticket was doing that as well.
Were they doing full hour?
No. They would drop. They would do either a bad radio segment, and then they would go brought to you by AutoZone and some shit like that. And so I'm like, okay, well at least I listened to your ad, so you do have revenue there.
So I don't feel bad. So my guess without knowing is that sponsor would code, and if you listen to that within a certain amount of time, that you would get credit for it in the ratings. That's my guess.
Well, I hope that does change. And again, going back to that My Ticket Confessions, is I was asking, and that program director made the same argument that you are, is that, well, if I was like, you need to do something more in podcasting. I mean, I can't catch every hour of your shows, and I want to listen to these things, but you don't give me another second chance to listen to it. So what do I do? I mean, can you put these up on podcasts? And he said, no, we feel like that's just going to take away from our ratings, and we're just not going to see it. I'm like, okay, well, good for you. I mean, but I'm just not going to listen as much.
It does feel like it's kind of bad for the industry, though, man.
It is and it isn't. I think for you to have more access to your radio station is never a bad thing. And so, I got a podcast going on and so I have no reason to listen to the live. That's bullshit too, because there are things that whenever you go jump in your car and listen, or you have it playing while you're working on your deck or something, you can still, you still have those opportunities to listen. And then there's those opportunities where also you are, I would like to know a special announcement or something's been breaking news or something's happened with the team. You need to listen right then and there. I mean, you can't go listen to that on a podcast, or at least I don't think you would want to, So I think
and there's no right answer to any of this.
No,
but I think,
and I don't I fucking think, know. Yeah, I really don't.
Before we were asked to at the Fan to podcast every hour of every show, the philosophy of our show, and I generally handled it, for my 6.5 years there, is we would podcast what we thought were the funniest segments of our show. So we have a 4-hour show. We would typically post any interview that we did, any guest that we had that was good, and the funniest stuff. So if we have 12 segments a show, generally, per day, we were generally, on average, posting 4 segments a day.
So was that and I had to get into the weeds on this, was that real time, or would you do that 24 hours later?
No, I would do it during a break, or during one of the final breaks of our show. I'd go in the other studio and chop them up and put them online.
Okay. Well, I mean, I don't know.
Right after our show. Yeah.
Go ahead.
And we made, at the time... and who knows if those guys will still keep it active wherever they're going. But we had our own Twitter account at Ben and Skin, where we shared, and each day we tweeted out the 4 segments, just like a podcast.
Yeah. Well, that's an interesting conversation, though. That actually brings me back into kind of getting into this radio politics type thing and how it all goes. But yeah, that's interesting.
I think that was like the happy medium though, of like, hey, here's put up not the full show. You know, if you want more, but here's the best stuff that we did.
Yeah, I mean, I think
putting up the best stuff. I think it's a way to meet in the middle. You know,
I still think you can still drive your revenue because you can throw an ad on there, and you can there's a way to make money off of it and to maybe get ears on. Maybe that's a little teaser. You go, man, these freaking guys are funny. I'm going to throw that radio on, you know, because I'm only getting maybe 30 minutes here. From the day, they're broadcasting 4 hours. What am I missing?
Sure.
So, I mean, you can't say that that's not doing anything for you. And I think that's just a cop out to just that sounds like more work. I don't want to do it. So, but let's. I don't want to keep you all day long. All right, I'm sorry if you have time or something you have you want to do. But so let's go into the last days of Ben and Skin. When did you know that this friggin' show was going to go away?
I mean, I officially knew, you know, Wednesday, it was a Wednesday morning, and I don't know the specific date, it was late October, Wednesday morning, I got to the station, and they basically said, hey, look, man, we are going to, turn in our resignation, no hard feelings. But we've got an offer that we can't refuse. So we are going to turn in our 2 weeks, and it's up to Gavin, and it's up to the guy, you know, the bosses at the Fan, if they want there or match the offer, you know.
All right.
But just what they were very open.
At least you didn't get it in a tweet.
I was, you know, well, I obviously had questions immediately, like what? Where are you going? Where's this offer from?
And they couldn't say shit to you, huh?
No, not at all. And that's where it gets very interesting because, you know, it got to a point where I'd kind of been asking really through that whole show Wednesday, because Wednesday morning they turned in the resignation to the boss.
Okay.
You know, still did the show on Wednesday. And then Ben was off Thursday and Friday because his wife had hip surgery. So Ben had scheduled days off. So on Thursday and Friday, just me and Skin did the show. And I had asked, you know, those guys on Wednesday and even Thursday and sent separate texts, just trying to say, guys, what is going on?
Get something out of them?
But they basically said, look, we can't tell you. We'll tell you when we can tell you.
Well, I will say this is one of the biggest well-held secrets I've ever seen in DFW. There's literally nothing in the nothing. Nobody knows anything.
You know, and that's why, and that's what they, and I've laid off of them with, like, trying to find out because, you know, one, the first thing they told me was, look, dude, there's a, we just can't talk about this, and, hey, why don't you just be cool and respect it, you know? but, like.
Well, no big deal. I mean, like, hold on. Okay, no big deal. You're just, like, not ruining, but you're, like, leaving me on the dust. I mean, no big deal. Well, I mean, I'm not trying to be mean to them. I'm just saying.
But what you're saying, though, is not at all how I felt.
No.
And I think that's how the world thought I felt.
That's good. I've been glad you're here to say that.
Left me hanging. But think. I want you to think about this, and I'll use another guy, and just to help you, like, explain kind of how I felt. Because there is a lot of context here.
Yeah.
But you remember Jake Kemp doing songs about hoping that someone dies at the ticket or, you know?
Yeah.
Like, things like that?
Yeah.
How I felt was, oh, shit, that's weird that this is happening. B, wait, am I about to get the midday show? Like, I immediately had gone, immediately, my thoughts were more about me about to get a show. Well, I mean, I got excitement.
That's good, man. Yeah, but
you had an immediate, like, you have sadness because we had a little some good times on our show. But, you know,
but Ben and Skin, if you're going to leave, then fuck off. I'm getting a show.
right? Now, I was also not as surprised as maybe the rest of the world was. I mean, look, here's a couple things that had happened.
Okay.
Back in the summer, late summer, really kind of a training camp in California.
Yeah.
The week before that, they had basically, we knew that Intercom Corporate had came into town, and there had been meetings. And then, you know, we basically got to talk, and each show separately got a talk from our boss there. And the message was, we're moving to more sports. We want you taking calls. We want you reading listener text messages.
Oh, God.
Now, they didn't say 100% sports, you know, but it felt, especially with our show, which is kind of known for being a little more loose, maybe a little more immature, you know.
I literally died inside when you just said that. I literally just died inside.
Yeah, and I did too. I did too, and I was against it, and I fought it, you know. And I had multiple talks with Gavin Spittle over the last, you know, that's like talking about how much I disagree with it. I don't know if it was corporate mandated. I don't know if that was something that he decided on his own. But whatever it is, the ratings are good. Now, how much do you want to give the Cowboys credit for that? I want to give the fan a little bit of credit because they've developed a really good young fan base.
Absolutely. That can build on for years. You don't know.
That was always the plan when I got there in 2013, was like, look, the ticket's getting older. We are going to go younger.
Yeah.
And we successfully did that, you know. And I can proudly say that my last ratings book there was, you know, we were number one. So I'm happy about that. But, like, you know, I did not like that. So here we are in California. We're all discussing, like, well, training camp will be easy, you know, to get through this. And, again, they were getting rid of segment titles around the wildlife. You know, hey, I want to do a story about the bull that's loose in Arlington, you know. But, you know, they wanted to get rid of some of that stuff. The Today
Game.
What
about even just jacking around on that? I'm sorry I didn't listen to training camp. Were you even jacking around messing with players or anything?
Yeah, we did a little bit of that and a little bit of wireless, did all that kind of stuff, you know. But, like, it was still very, very focused, you know, very sports intensive.
Gavin Spittle, if you're listening, do not do this. Do not go sports heavy. You will die a slow death. I promise you. And Kevin does not sign off on this. I'm telling you right now, do not do this. Be entertaining first, and then you can talk your sports. Be entertaining. That's all I can say.
Well, I think the way that was justified, again, I don't know if this is a Gavin thing or an Intercom thing. I really don't.
Yeah.
Well, but you got the sense that there was some corporate meddling going on.
Well, of course, but hey, Gavin, like, if you want to keep your job, and because we're going to go all sports heavy, and then your ratings tank. Guess who's going first? You.
But isn't he safe though? Like, I mean, Gavin, that station was, no offense to anyone who ever worked there, but that station was seen as a joke.
Yes.
I mean, the ticket was dunking on both the fan and the ticket for years.
Well,
for years.
Did you ever listen?
I mean, Gavin should get credit.
Absolutely. And you know what? A guy who I really, truly, I guess whenever the whole Grego and Richie thing happened, his name was really dragged through the mud through that. And I saw the little things that they were saying, but whenever he decided to get rid of them and bring Ben and Skin in there, I was going, that is a fantastic move. That is a great move. And I've met Gavin. I've never said one bad word to him. I think he, you know, I jack around with him. I think he does do a good thing, but I'm telling you, Gavin, do not do this. Do not, you will rule the day. I'm telling you.
Right now, his ratings are really good.
Yeah, man, they are.
So, you know, and you know, we'll see how all that stuff plays out. You know,
but when you say the joke,
in the end, I don't really care anymore. In the end, but like,
yeah.
But that's a big part of it. I mean, what's very ironic is that I told you that Wednesday morning was the day that Ben and Skin kind of notified me. I actually had on Tuesday that Tuesday, or maybe it was that Monday, it was earlier in that week, I had a 30-minute closed-door meeting with Gavin just about, I was unhappy with this format change.
Yeah.
And I was unhappy with, you know, what I was making.
Well, you, I hate to say,
a lot of things.
Well, I hate to go back into the, well, I mean, this is in the weeds, but you were not contracted in.
No, cool. I didn't have a contract.
You did not have a contract, and I found that to be absolutely that's amazing to hear that you were not contracted in as the third seat for Ben and Skin. You were still rolling as a producer, right?
Yeah, I mean, I had a full-time salary, you know, full-time salary, but no contract.
Yeah, that contract.
Where you can work in ratings bonuses, and you can work in, you know, generally if you have a contract, you'll have a little higher salary. You know, and I had been debating over the last 2 years, you know, at what point, you know, once you'd been there for 5 years and our show had become successful, you know, consistently in the top five, you know, I had debated when is the right time to go in and ask for contracts. And I had seen my buddy Jeff Cavanaugh go in there and get a contract, you know, and go get a pretty good raise. And I'd seen all this stuff, and I'm sitting there going, man, okay, so at some point I have to go in, stand up for myself and do that. And, you know, I was kind of waiting to play it right, you know. But then, you know, the thing that, this is why I wasn't surprised that Ben and Skin ultimately quit, is because they, you know, we got demoted to, you know, 10 to 2. So 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
And please tell me what the explanation was for that.
I can't remember if we were doing, if at training camp, if we were 10 to 2, or if we were 3. I
don't think you'd been there yet. I don't think you were there yet, right?
I'm not sure, man. I'm not sure if we had been moved then or not. I'm trying to think about when we started. I do actually, man. I don't know. Man, it's all running together.
Yeah,
right now, I really don't know. But I remember, you know, finding out about that. Yeah, no, we weren't there yet because we all. That's when I found out. I found out in California that we were changing.
No, y'all were changing.
Intended to.
Imagine when you got
and
back
I found
here.
Out in California. Yeah, so we changed whatever, yeah, whenever we got back or whatever. You know, and 10 to 2 for me is just not great. Now, you know, I personally, motion, how people look at things is up to them. If you want to, you know, someone's a demotion could be a promotion to others. To me, going from 3 to 7 to 10 to 2 was a demotion. That's the way I looked at it, whether that's fair or not. And other people may say, no, it wasn't a demotion. It was just a switch of things. But that's where I kind of got the vibe. Something was up.
Well, I think if the change, and this is just my opinion, if the change would have been, hey, we're going to move you from afternoons, from drive time, we're going to drive you, put you into morning radio. That would have been an equal, if not, you know, a promotion, but that would have been pretty comparable. But
I think in the end,
go ahead.
I think in the end, you want to be PM drive.
I think so.
if you went and told Sean Sharif and RJ Choppy, I would guess. Or if you went and told the Musers, I don't want to speak for the Musers because they've been around so long.
Yeah.
But if you went to anyone who's in morning drive and said, "Hey, we're going to move you to PM drive. What do you think?" I think most people
would
be like, "Hell yeah!"
Yeah,
because it's just such a grind. Morning drive is a grind.
Well, it takes years off your life, man. I'm telling you, Terry Dorsey didn't make it. Terry Dorsey didn't make it 6 weeks after you retired. I'm telling you.
You know, this is where you kind of go. You know, that's where I look at the, you know, PM drive is a glamorous spot there. You know, now, you know, they didn't really like, you know, present it to us as a demotion, you know.
Huh.
The reason for the switch, I still don't feel like I 100% have a grasp. But at the time, if we're going by a small sample of radio ratings, our show was behind G-Bag and, you know, Sean and RJ by a little bit. But, you know, pretty much over the summer, all of sports talk radio ratings were down, you know.
It's that slow time. It's that slow time.
But, and that happens,
yeah.
You know. Where you go a couple months where things are weird.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where we were kind of like, okay. So, you know, as a show, we all in California seeing the changes happen and then knowing about the demotion that was coming or the knowing that we were getting moved to 10 to 2.
That was it. They were,
you know, I know where my mind was. My mind was, I don't think this is going to work for me. But, you know, when Ben and Skin quit, my number one thing that I wanted to do was go in and see how much money I could get.
Oh, yeah.
And see if I could get the midday job. And, you know, kind of like the decision had kind of already been made. And Kevin and Corey had been there for, well, longer than me, you know. So Kevin and Corey had a show. Well, it was much easier to give Kevin and Corey a show than to give me and someone else a show. Kevin and Corey had established a show for many years doing nights, had been there a long time. You know, I don't know if they had contracts or not, but like, I know what I have in Ken and Corey if I'm making decisions there. I don't know what I have in KT if whoever I decide to put with KT.
Right, right.
And
you don't know. Yeah, the great unknown is, okay, we put him with somebody and then that doesn't work, but at least we know that KNC will work.
And this is where I was being very picky too, you know, because we talked about a few things, but you just didn't really. I said, look, I don't want to do a show with just anyone.
They're not going to bring back Sean Salisbury? Because,
yeah, like I don't want to do a show with Sean Salisbury and then the ratings aren't good and then it's, you know,
then you
and
hate
then I'm gone.
And you hate him.
Like, yeah, like I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
But like I think of, I don't know, like again, I don't know, I know this guy, but I don't know him well. I don't know I'm just using an example here because I about all these guys who might have taken a job at the Fan or at the Ticket or at ESPN over the years. And they go and they do a show and it maybe wasn't what they wanted the show to be, but they took that job because it was their first time, a sports radio job. Well, then, like, if it fails, then you're gone, then what? So I didn't want to, like, I was like, if I'm doing, I want to make sure it's right. But I also didn't want to not get a raise. And to me, Ben and Skin going out the door, you
didn't
know,
want to go in there and be the third seat for the same amount you're doing.
To me, there was more pie to go around, but I was not patient about what I did. I mean, like I waited about 5 days. I went in, had some very quick but intense talks about like, hey, what can you pay me? Can you give me an offer? Let's go. And that's just not how those types of things work. I mean, when we talk about hiring people in radio, man, it goes through legal, it goes through corporate. It takes a long time to get everything right. I mean, they couldn't have even written up a contract. What I wanted was an offer. I wanted, you know, to believe, KT, we're dying to have you here. I wanted to be begged to stay. I printed out a 2 weeks notice and had it in my pocket ready to go in case I didn't get what I wanted in that offer. And I did not, or in that meeting, you know, you know, on that Monday morning. And that's when I ended up quitting. Now he offered me the night show, which I think everyone needs to know that. Cause I think there's a lot of people going to watch the night show. To me, you know, the Fan carries the Rangers for 6 months out of the year.
You wouldn't be broadcasting for three or four months.
Well, yeah, I just didn't want to go on at 11, you know, half of the year. And then honestly, you have to like put trust into decision makers. I'm talking about the immediate bosses, I'm talking about the corporation in general. And I don't think at the time, and I, you know, who knows? But like I needed everyone to understand if the ratings weren't good for me because the Rangers sucked. Then what do I, you know, like, where do you go from there?
Yeah, I understand.
If the Rangers do bad, if the Rangers play bad in my first year of having a night show, the Rangers aren't very good and the ratings aren't very good, are we going to make sure that we're ruling out Ranger ratings for my ratings? You know, that takes a lot of work, and I just don't know that.
I don't think you feel very comfortable with that. Yeah.
It's a road I didn't want to go down.
Yeah.
You know? And the other thing I would say is I wasn't offered enough money to do that.
Yeah.
And I also didn't trust having, you know, if I was going to do a night show, then I wanted to do something more akin to Big Dick Swallow Circus.
I was thinking about the. I was thinking KT's rant would be what it would be.
Well, you know, that's what I kind of want to do is like KT's Funhouse, and then we have a cast of characters. You know, whoever the other. You know, I would have three other people on the show, but you know, selfishly,
that would've been so good.
because I've failed over the last 10 years to have a partner, you know, in radio. You know, I wanted to have something where I was the guy who had the name on the show and you get endorsements with that type of thing. But we had a wild cast of characters who, you know, if things were successful, I would take care of on the side, you know,
well,
with extra money and bonuses and then things like that. Like, and that's another thing I should say about Ben and Skin. For anyone that Ben and Skin left me hanging, no. Ben and Skin do not owe me anything. I mean, no. Those guys would get ratings bonuses and they would cut me a check.
Oh, dude, that's like, awesome. Well, that, I mean, yeah.
That doesn't happen.
I know. And I want to, after tag along with the Mike Soroy comment earlier, I really actually believe Ben and Skin, regardless of what I think of how they are as broadcasters or anything, I actually do think they're actually really, really well, really good. Genuinely good guys. Other than Ben, Ben's all right, but I really like Skin, a guy I can actually legitimately talk to. Like he doesn't try to, you know, he's on television or anything, and I can shoot him a DM and he'll respond to me, and I think that's really big of him. Ben would like to just block me all the time, jerk.
Well, yeah, but you probably deserved it.
There's probably a few times I've deserved it, but I confront, you know, that's the problem with this whole troll thing, is a lot of them, they'll be like, oh, you suck, or and I don't really ever say you suck. I'm probably just jacking around usually, and then when they're in person, they'll act differently or they won't even say anything. Me, I will go right up to you. I remember I had things with Gavin, I would kind of, you suck, and I would go to him, I was like, hey man, what's up, Brad? And he's like, oh, hey. And the same thing with Ben, I go, hey man, Brad. And he goes, Brad? And so this is at a bar over in Fort Worth too. You weren't there, but it was me and Ben Rogers, and Jacob was there, and then Jeff Cavanaugh, had some meet up there, and me and him had a long conversation, which I would love to do again, because that was a fascinating conversation. I'm like, why is this not being recorded? Because it was a fascinating conversation, and he unblocked me in person. Can you believe that?
All right.
Yeah.
I can believe that.
And then blocked me 3 months later.
Yeah, well, you know, you probably pissed him off again.
Well, you know, it is what it
but
is.
But, you know, both of those guys interact with a lot of people. And, you know, the one thing, and I'm not even, you know, big time, but, like, it's amazing. Like, some people, like, you go to an event, and you're like, hey, you remember me? And I'm like, God, yeah.
Do you actually really know them?
Like, I remember some people, but remember everyone? It's hard, man.
Oh, shit,
like,
yeah.
It's very impossible to remember everyone. But, like, you know, I've seen Ben and Skin both, you know, take stuff on the fan text and then, you know, both reach out and say, look, if you want to talk about this, here's my number. Call me. Let's clear the air here.
I mean, that's actually pretty cool of them, is that they are actually, you know, some like to just push it away, not naming names, you know, and I don't think actually Ben has blocked me now. I think he just mutes me, which is so passive aggressive because you don't realize it until you're like just sending things out into the ether into nothing.
It's actually genius.
It's so genius. And I'm just like, you know, Ben, this is stupid. And he just, no response. And I'm like, why aren't you responding?
You probably need to take your crap, man.
I know. You know, as
no, like in the end, you know. Well, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, as Jeff Cavanaugh says, has anointed me as a really big jerk online and the nicest person in person. So, at least.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah, I think I go with that.
I would agree with that. not a jerk. You just got to know who you're dealing with, too. Though, like if someone's dealing with you online and they don't know who you are, then it's going to be a problematic discussion. You know?
Well, absolutely, and I never set out, like, maybe in my older days, like whenever, you know, I think I considered myself. And by the way, we're at an hour. Do you have a hard out or anything? Just let me know.
No, I'm good. Whatever.
Okay. Well, I'm, you know, I'm not gonna talk all day, and probably my battery will die. So, God. Anyways, but in my more like I was a P1 back in the day when you were around, and so when the fan came around and all these new hosts are coming in, and I was going, yeah, whatever, you suck, and you know, your show's dumb and blah blah. I think that was juvenile, and I do apologize to Sean, but at the same time, their show wasn't very good at times, but now I think it's actually a lot better. But that's just me.
Well, I believe their show's gotten way better.
Way better.
You know, and they've learned who they are as broadcasters, what their identity is in the market, things like that. And that stuff all matters, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
But, like, I think that whole thing, like, because, man, I had it too. When I was a part-time nobody at the Ticket, and it would be funny to just throw a little shot at someone. And it's like, they're getting older. It's like, man, it's actually pretty impressive what the fan has done to get back in the mix. I'll say this. There was a night, and he wasn't like, this is at the Super Bowl in Houston. We're at the hotel bar. And I think it was me and Skin. I think Ben was there and Mike Reiner. And basically, he just said, cheers, boys. You guys are a worthy
opponent.
It's not worthy competitor. Not worthy competitor. The
adversary?
Word is not coming to my
adversary
head.
Adversary or?
Worthy adversary.
There we go.
And I was like, man, that's awesome. I'm cool with Mike, so it's not like, you know, but like it was like he was not speaking about our show or us. And us going head to head with the Hardline, he was speaking about the fan as a station,
mm-hmm.
turning it around and being a laughing stock.
Yeah, anymore. Absolutely. And that's what I actually want to talk about is obviously the fan was a laughing stock. I mean, and Ben and Skin will probably attest to how bad their show was back in 2008 or 9 or whatever it was. I think it was probably 2008, but it was dreadful. And that's why I'm yelling at Gavin, do not do that, because that show was awful. This has been, you know, Ben and Skin would go, all right, well, the Cowboys are playing, da da da. And on the text line, we're going to, okay, let's get a call in here. And I'm like, and all this stuff. I'm like, stop it. It's like sensory overload. I couldn't keep up. Like, it was so all over the place. Don't do it.
It's part of the reason they got out there, you know.
Exactly.
The first time at the fan.
Yeah.
You know, if they weren't fired, they quit.
Oh, they quit, and I think they honed their skills in the ESPN, and I think when they came back, they said, what are we doing here at the fan now? Are we taking a bunch of texts and phone calls? Because if we are, no thank you. And they let Ben and Skin make a great show with their great interviews and whatever they did. I don't know. but when they were talking, I think it was a great show. But don't go back to that model, because that was a losing model. It was a dreadful, dreadful show. I don't care if you have the Cowboys. Okay, the Cowboys can't save you forever. So that's just me.
No, I agree. And this is what's going to be interesting in February, was like, what do they have to, you know, what adjustments are made? And
what are you going to do then?
You know, those are things I thought about. Those are things I thought about before I left. Like, what happens in February?
Well, we got the draft.
And even if the Mavericks are, 35-5. What happens? Yeah. You know, Raves are going to stay? And I don't know, but what I do know is, like, and I saw the Richie White article, Richie Witt article. I don't know Richie, so I will not comment on it. I know that, I know Sybil, I know his wife, I'm cool with her, and worked with her for years, or at least worked in the same building with her for years. I've known her for years. I don't know him. You know, I've never met Richie, but, you know, I do think numbers match up with the numbers that I got before left.
Okay.
Because I see that.
What is the dispute? What is the dispute for the Ticket? What are they trying to say? No, those numbers aren't right.
I don't know. I think it got into semantics about his article and what was written.
Because I want to know what it is. Because I want to know what it is.
Junior popped on scatter shooting, and Junior Miller you know, I think mentioned number one for the last 6 months or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, Richie's article, he used big words to illustrate that the fan had won for a month or two.
Right.
And he had used things like the ticket's nosediving. And I don't know, the ticket's not nosediving.
No, like I think it's coming up, it's coming more head to head. It's coming more to head to head.
Yeah, that's where I don't, those specific numbers I don't really know. I'm off the top of my head.
No, I mean, but like, but, yeah. You
know, what Richie had, though, was it matched up with what I had.
Okay.
From my last, you know, couple ratings books there, it matched up with what I had. And the idea of him, like, there's, I know there's a lot of P1s, and there's a lot of blind loyalty with both P1s and Tolos. Like,
I think you
I'm
need to
believe my guys no matter what.
Absolutely.
And that's a genius thing that I think that's been created by, you know, both of these stations, and it starts with the P1. And I think Reiner should get a lot of credit for that, kind of creating a, well, if you don't listen to us, you're dumb, you know, like, you know, that type of mentality. That's a real thing, good thing to do to, you know, mobilize your listeners. But, you know, it does go overboard, like you're just going to be blind and not kind of look at some of the things that are coming out. And this is where I think, you know, it's not too crazy to imagine that Richie could have inside industry radio sources.
Not at all.
Given that he worked in that business and that his wife, you know, does radio for a living. Like, it's not just people on air. There are salespeople. You know, they're just basic. Executives that you could information from. It's not hard.
Yeah, but I'm not ever disputing what Richie was writing. And you and me both dispute the fact that he says, "Oh, the ticket's just caving under." No, I think it's coming up closer together. I think ratings is obviously, and I've had a long conversation with Ben about this, Ben Rogers years ago, but he, you know, we talked about ratings and he thinks it's bullshit. I think it's bullshit too. Like, it's not a, you know, what is it? Five people? How many was one person calculate for?
You would like for your ratings to be indicative of thousands to tens of thousands of listeners, not tens to hundreds.
Yeah.
I mean, it's legitimately 10. My understanding, and again, I don't fully know this stuff, but like, my understanding is we're talking about a sample size so small that we're talking about, you know, if one or two people change meters, that it could change things.
Absolutely.
That's my understanding of it. But I don't, you know, fully know all that stuff. And every time I've tried to dig and find out, it gets shut down pretty quickly. Like, oh yeah, can't really, you got to pay to get this service. And then I'm like, oh, okay, well, I just want to know what it all means and how it all works.
Yeah, well,
you know, I know about getting ratings. I don't know if I know about getting ratings from a doing a show point of view. I don't know anything about getting ratings from a, you know, I know it's probably illegal, probably, when you work in the business to even talk about that type of stuff.
Is it about the FCC shit like that? But well, what I was getting at is, this is good for everybody in the market. If you know, I hate to get like, did you watch wrestling back in the day?
Yeah, a little bit.
Hell yeah, WWF, WCW.
When WF was heaping up, the Stone Cold, you know, era. You know, Undertaker, Kane, you know, that era.
Yeah, I mean, and who knows who's WWF and who's WCW, but there was, you know, in the heyday of 1998, it was great for both of these companies to have competing, you know, models against each other. I mean, it helped both of them. They'd switch back and forth. I mean, I can't say I absolutely flip both between the ticket and the fan. It happens, okay? And I think it's good for both of them if, you know, hey, you know what? If the fan goes into the first place for a month or two, even if it is for the Cowboys or not, I think it's good for the ticket to go get a kick in their ass and not go, yeah, we're the best station ever and we're just going to be here forever. No, you need to try, and you know, I'm sorry, I love Mike to death and the Hardline, but I'm sorry, their show's just not the same to me. And is the morning show the same? I don't know. But if it gets them up in the morning and go, man, we got to go out there and we got to try to we got to try to kick the fans' ass. Or if they're going out there going, ah, whatever, I can kind of, you know, just, you know, do whatever on the radio today because, you know, we're going to be number one tomorrow anyway, so who cares? I would much rather have the first option.
And I just don't know. I mean, I know that when I care about all that stuff, and I'm a guy who's never been on the line for, like, ratings bonuses and stuff. You know, I've always cared about all that stuff, but there's an element to me that it is, like, very out of your control. Yes. And I just think those guys who have been in the business for all these years, I would imagine they are, like, I don't know what they think about that stuff. I don't know if they care. You know, honestly, if you've been around the rating system enough, I think it's pretty easy to become jaded by it. You know, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I can understand that. Yeah,
you know.
So I see these things and I go, you know, hey, I think this is actually a good thing for the radio market, and be like, you know what, if it gets, I'm sorry, I hate to keep picking on Mike Reiner, but he's the older guy who's. Some people like to say he's kind of phoning it in at times. I don't think he is. I still think he's with it. But if it gets Mike Reiner up there, and when Mike Reiner was at his best, he was the best radio host in this city. No, I mean, in this DFW area. Best one in there, okay? And if it gets him to get excited and, you know what, I'm going to show these sons of bitches who's the man, and that's Mike Reiner. And if that's good for it, I'm all for it. That's just me.
Well, you know, I just don't know. Like, this is where it gets very hard. I can't say that I've heard a ton of the hard line because I was 3 to 7 for 5 or 6 years.
You have it in your other ear?
But, like, I haven't noticed all the stuff that I hear about, like, the drop off. But, you know, it's like, I've only been listening for about 2 months now. You know, really the only show that I would ever catch was back when we were 3 to 7. I would drive in and I might hear the first segment of Bob and Dan.
Yeah.
You know? And I know Bob and Dan tend to, you know, kind of keep things pretty fresh on their show, you know? So, you know, I don't know about that type of stuff because I just don't know if ratings is enough to make you do a better show. I'm not sure if it matters.
Uh-oh, Katie's getting tired. I think we're going to have to roll this up. don't die.
Did yesterday when you listened to White Elephant Day, didn't it seem like everyone was genuinely excited to be doing their show?
I think something fresh like that really gets them engaged. And then some days when it's just a Tuesday and maybe there is no Cowboys or there's nothing sportsy going on, I don't know how engaged they are, and I don't know how much they even care. That's just my opinion, and I've heard it from other people who listen a hell of a lot more than I do. And I'm just, you know, the stuff that I hear, and then people who tell me, who listen to a lot, are telling me, yeah, they're not as engaged as they once were. They're really sometimes just not into it, or I don't know. That's just the opinion of the people I hear. It's not an exact science. It's just from what people who tell me, who listen to all the time, who listen a lot more than I do.
I rarely interact with people that listen all the time, really, to any of the stations. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I guess I did at you know, back when I was at the Fan. You know, you run into tons of people who listen all day.
Yeah.
But I don't really know, like even, you know, maybe 10 years ago, I felt like everyone I knew was listening to Ticket all day. And now I don't really think I hardly ever run into those.
Well, maybe those...
Maybe that's me that's changed more than anything else. Though.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I'm not saying that a lot of those listeners are some of the best people to even gauge on, because... I don't know. I don't know why you have to listen to that all day long. But, you know, a guy just sent out a meme today. There's being a good strong P1, but a few of y'all are about 3 steps from this, and it's the scene from Misery when she cobbles James Caan, and it's just like, y'all need to relax a little bit. Like, it's just like, calm down. It's just sports radio. And if you say something that is positive towards a fan of what they're doing, and I think what Jeff Kavanaugh is doing, I think what you were doing was admirable, because y'all guys, and I'm gonna wrap this up here in a second, but what y'all were doing was y'all were given a golden opportunity to be on the radio every day, and you didn't squander it. You went out there, and you could have just gone, well, I'm just going to be funny, or I'm just going to be this. I'm just going to be Gordon Keith, or I'm going to be whatever. You went out there, and you made yourself, and you were KT. And I think that is something to be at, you know, to be commended, because I think, you know, are you just going to be the ha-ha funny guy, or are you all going to be, I'm a ha-ha funny guy, but let me tell you what's going on in the draft. And I found that very admirable that you took your job so seriously. And I think a lot of people don't. I don't think they do.
I appreciate that. But I mean, because, you know, that's the number one thing that I always told myself, and I remember trying to figure this out maybe in college. Okay, if you're going to do this, you need to have a, I remember, like, you know, you have so many people talking to you. You need to find out who you are. Like, what is your,
it's your voice.
What's your brand, or who are you? What is that? And I'm like, well, I was like, man, why don't I just go be myself? And if being myself isn't good enough, I'll probably find out really quick, and then I'll try to have a, you know, maybe I'll try to have another angle that I approach. But for me, just keeping it real and being self has always worked.
Yeah.
But, and I think it's just all about, it's just kind of all about being relatable and things like that too.
And I think that's, I mean, what you, again, were. Yeah,
you were talking about earlier. It's just about finding a connection with the listener that's not bullshit.
Yeah. Or you're not just, you doing know, fake radio, I mean, guys. So we're going to talk about Cowboys today. All right, call in. You think Jerry Jones should be fired? Like, what? I mean, what do you do? I mean, do something different. You know, be something different. And I think a lot of people want to fall into the, you know, be a Cowboy homer, or be super anti-Cowboys, or just, hey, you know, be super analytical. Do something different. Be something different. And I think, you know, be entertaining, obviously. I mean, be engaging to where I really, after a Cowboy game or if something happens, I want to listen to what Kevin Turner has to say on what happened today, that day. And that's where you need to be. Something happens sometimes with some guys, and I'm like, hey, they're on the radio. I really don't care what they have to say about that. That's where you get the jaded, I mean, you've got to be able to say something that's worth a damn, that someone gives a shit about.
Well, and that's kind of where some of my frustrations with moving towards a more all sports, take callers format was going. And I want to be clear, it wasn't like, hey, 100% sports, that's all you're allowed to do.
But
it wasn't like
an
ESPN style edict, you know, where, you know, like, it wasn't that, but it was very clear, you know, what the message was. Yeah. And that's where I started to go, well, do these games mean anything? Yeah, sure, I want my teams to win. And sure, I enjoy watching football. And sure, I love the NFL draft and doing all that stuff. Like, that's fine. But what else are we going to do? And it's the things that, you know, one thing I've heard Ben say a million times over the years is talking about, like, he goes, I've never had someone come up to me and say, man, I really love that sports point you made. Because the things people remember are funny stories or some joke that was made. Or
that gravy joke.
The gravy story, all that stuff. Like, all that stuff.
Yeah.
But I think all that stuff's true, and that's about what the connection is about. And for me, while there are days I sit there and go, man, holy crap, who could dream of entertaining thousands of people, especially in a market that you kind of grew up in, you know? Like, who could dream of that?
Yeah.
But I also, when some of these changes were made, as a fan, I my passion for the show was dying. And, you know, maybe there's a certain amount of money that would have made that right, because I was making the same thing, basically the same thing I'd made when I got there, you know? You know, I had, you know, wasn't, probably getting a small raise each year, but I wasn't, like, cleaning house or anything, you know?
Yeah.
And maybe there's a certain amount of money that would make you be like, yeah, but, man, I just wasn't personally passionate about, let's go do a 90% sports show.
Yeah.
And there are days when the content would offer that.
Yeah.
Right? But there are also more days than not where the content does not call for that, in my opinion. Yeah. And I personally didn't think, I thought personally that our show and my work personally, then this has nothing to do with G-Bag or Sean and RJ, or KNC for that matter. I didn't think our show and my work personally deserved to be demoted. And one of the joys for me with being in the afternoon was the idea of someone getting off work and driving home and listening and laughing on their way home. Like, that may sound corny or whatever, but, like, it's something I really thought about, like, a lot and really enjoyed. And people would say, man, I had a shitty day at work, but you made me laugh on the way home while I'm stuck in traffic. That's the type of stuff where you actually feel like you're doing something. Because there are days when you go, man, the job didn't – I didn't go save a life. I didn't go do anything important, you know. When people tell you that, and you know, it became quite clear that a lot of people did care about me, you know, when I quit and all that stuff. And I still get people who are asking, well, what's going on? What are you going to do?
What are you going to do next?
So, like, all that stuff is like, that stuff means a lot to me, you know, and I really enjoyed the afternoon drive. You know, take away the demotion aspect of it. I enjoyed being on the air an afternoon drive.
Yeah.
And, you know. Well, kind of kick in the nut and not do it. And at some point you're like, how much do I want to stand here and get kicked in the nut?
No. Yeah, I see your point on it. I hope you land somewhere very soon. And whatever they're going to get you, they're going to get you at a bargain. That's for sure. Well, maybe not. I mean, I'm saying that sounded like a slight to you. I was meaning that you're worth a lot and whatever. Sorry.
No. I know what you meant. And you know, I don't really know what's going to happen. I mean, I'm still doing stuff at the Athletic. And then, you know, I've been in talks with a couple other places. So,
yeah.
A bad time to quit in the fourth quarter when companies are trying to get their budget right. And then you talk about going to work for someone and they're like, well, I got to get our budget approved for 2019 first. But maybe we can talk to 2020.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'll be back on the air in 2020, but...
God, I hope so. Have you decided to do any side projects yet? Or are you just going to do the Athletic, or what are you going to do?
Well, right now the Athletic is going great, and the Cowboys are doing their podcast, and then, you know, we'll see what happens. You know, the broadest just left the Cowboys, so maybe there's an opportunity to go to the draft show.
Yeah.
Possibly, or something like that, you know?
Well,
but yeah, no firm decisions or anything. It's kind of just like get through the year, and then we'll kind of see where we're at from there.
Okay.
You know?
Well, I'm not trying to cut you off because I really don't want this. This is a fantastic conversation we had, and I don't want it getting like my battery is literally running low on the recorder. So, again,
sure.
Where can they find you on the interwebs?
Okay. Yeah. Twitter at KT Fun Tweets is the best place to go.
Okay.
You know, and then, you know, you can follow me on Facebook, Kevin Turner. And then The Athletic right now, I host the About Them Cowboys podcast.
You're About Them
on
Cowboys.
The Athletic. And I'll be writing The Athletic probably in January once we get in draft season. I've already started watching players and all that stuff.
Get that board going.
Oh. Got a pretty good board so far.
God, you guys are so
at it right now.
Again, like I said, I want to commend you because I was watching from afar. I wasn't listening, but I was like, "Damn, he's like getting his board going." You're in the draft. I mean, you're getting it going. I mean, I was like, "Man, he's taking it serious. He's not. You were just going into the motions," as I was saying. So I was like, "Wow, he's taking it serious." And I really found that.
I've kept three first round offensive tackles, you know, so far. But it's early. There's a lot of things that can change.
Yeah,
no. All that stuff's fun, though, man. The draft is really fun. I always enjoyed it. Like, you know, I liked watching the draft as a kid, and like, this is it is fun talking about sports. Like, all that stuff is fun, you know. But the draft stuff's a very different thing because it's like I don't know.
That's a whole other animal.
It almost feels like it's own sport.
Yeah,
and everyone can talk about these players, but I think we could. I can kind of talk about some of these guys on a different level. I know Kavanaugh probably feels the same way.
Yeah.
Like, it's a whole different thing. Like, anyone can go talk about what happened at the Cowboys game last night. But, you know, when it comes time during a slow part of the sports year, well, who are the defensive tackles the Cowboys can take? And that can become a beat down once you do it every day, too. But
oh, shit. Well,
you know,
I,
fun
I,
to, One of these guys.
I'm a big fan, Kevin. And I hope we run into each other again soon. I really do. Hopefully, come
I'm
around
sure
Fort Worth area.
At the rodeo goat up there, yeah.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, that's a funny story we didn't talk about. But hey, next time, we're not going to go through like the whole thing. We're going to have fun, okay? Because I recorded one with unnamed guy because I don't want to tell anybody. But that was a fun one. And I think this one was a little more serious because I had questions. I had a lot of questions for you. So we're going to have a little more fun next time. This felt like a little serious at times. So
that's why my middle name is Fun.
Yes, it is. So, Kevin, I really appreciate you coming out. And you did not have to do this for this lowly old podcast, but I believe we're going to be getting that. I like to call it the Kevin Turner bump. Do you know what that is?
This is like where you have a bunch of beers, and then like your stomach's kind of popping out a little bit, like a baby.
Yeah, that's what it's going to be, man. All right, man. I appreciate you being on this dumbass podcast, but I appreciate it. I really
Absolutely,
do.
Man.
All right, we're going to do it again. We're going to do it again for sure.
All right, man. Rest in peace.
All right, man. See ya. Ah! Can you hear me, dude?